Oliver, then let's talk about the next part of his book, which is listening skills. And, you know, when I first got into this yesterday, after I did the whole next section, which is asking questions, which is huge, you know, the discovery stage, and all of this is part of the discovery stage or process, I went back and I said, oh, my gosh, I need to do the listening part first. And I've taught listening skills a lot of times, and so I thought, well, this will just be something I'm pretty knowledgeable on. And I'm going to tell you, people, it was like digging through the book and doing the outline and running through all the examples. Wow, did it open my mind to a lot of great stuff. So, again, once again, I mean, going through this stuff, never think that you've arrived, because we all need to continue growing in our process. So let's dig in and talk about the listening, and then I think there's three aspects to this. It's first of all, how to listen effectively, and I'm going to tell you, some of you on this call are shutting down right now because you go, oh, I know how to listen. Oh, I've been to Mary Jo's listening class. Please. It's kind of like somebody said to me one time, Mary Jo, isn't it a tautology to say you're going to teach listening? Because how do people who don't listen ever learn when you're teaching how to listen if they don't know how to listen? That's a good catch-22, isn't it? Work on focusing on this, because you will definitely pick some things up from today's training. But we're going to talk about how to listen effectively. Number two, what to listen for, because that's really critical. And then three, presenting your solution or satisfying needs. And that one is huge. So all three of these are what we're going to discuss today. So let's kick off with how to listen effectively. And as I believe what the first start off is in the book, it says success comes to those who listen. And I believe that that's absolutely true. There's no way that you can be successful unless you actually learn how to listen. You've got to be able to, what? Feel the other person. I mean, if you're going to build any relationship with anyone, including a spouse, a kid, anybody in your life, you better learn how to effectively listen, because that's the core of relationship building. And the core of our business is relationship building. So anything you can do to improve on your listening skills, I suggest you make that investment and move forward with it. The concept of be with listening is coming with listening with no judgment, no prejudice or interpretation, getting rid of the attitudes, the assumptions, the judgments, the prejudice. All of us carry that stuff in our head because it's based on all of our experiences in life. We come with different attitudes or concepts about how life should be or what expectations are and all these things, but they're really truly just based on our experiences and conclusions that we've arrived at based on our experiences. So there's not another person in the world that has had the same experience as you have, so they're going to have different judgments, prejudices, interpretations, attitudes, belief systems than you have. I mean, I will tell you, I don't think if you examined your life, have you ever found somebody identical in all those things to you? And some of you might argue with me, well, Mary Jo, yeah, I found this woman at my church, and we're like two peas in a pod. And I go, I'm going to suggest that the only reason you believe that is because you haven't gotten deep enough to find the differences. Because with every human being, there are going to be differences, just because we've all had different experiences. And that doesn't mean contentious differences. Sometimes we make them contentious when they don't need to be. Today's a lesson about never making it contentious. So how do we do that? We listen to people with no judgment, no prejudice, no interpretation. You put your own agenda aside, and you put your whole focus on the other person. Now, the reason some of this is hard for you is because it makes you a little vulnerable, because you feel somehow that you've, like, stripped yourself down to a bare minimal, and now you don't have your arsenal of debate. Well, that's what's causing the problem in your Manatech business today. You've become a debate queen or king, and you always want to be right, and you always want to be able to convince everybody. You know, this whole concept of Michael Oliver's around natural selling has nothing to do with convincing anyone of anything. It has nothing to do with convincing anyone of anything. It has everything to do with opening up people's hearts and minds to potentially seeing themselves better in their present reality so that they can make choices on whether they want to change or not. And once they make that choice that they indeed want to change, you're in the best possible position to help them with a solution. That is totally contrary to convincing, cajoling, manipulating, which is all part of past salesmanship. So it's a totally different approach to how you work with people. It's loving on them, no judgment, no prejudice, no interpretation. Just love on people and support them on moving forward in their life if that's their choice. But you have to get to that point. And you can't get to that point if you're not a good listener. He mentioned a book called Heart Math. I have never read the book, but I told Lydia to order it today. So we're going to get that, and I'll give some feedback on that. I'm not telling you guys to go out and order it. I'm just suggesting that came out of his Michael Oliver's book. That's if that seems to be an issue with you, and I promise you that when I get it in and read it, I will give you some feedback on it to tell you, because I'm always looking, you know, I do so much coaching and counseling with people now, especially in my family coaching clinics as well as Manatech, that it's fun to have tools that can really address a person's specific issues. And if this is going to help people learn how to listen from their heart better, I think I'm going to recommend it to, I can tell you, a lot of people, but I really want to tackle it first. So I put a big asterisk next to that. Make sure you know I'm not coming forward with a recommendation on it until I get a chance to read it myself. Today, what he's suggesting is just go out today, and any of you, if not all of you, and just start talking to people. Ask questions with absolutely no agenda. Now, this is different than what we're talking about with Manatech, because when you go out with Manatech, you do have a classic agenda. I mean, and I'm not telling you that you shouldn't have some direction in your life, otherwise you'll be like a blade of grass. But to start grappling with this issue of be with listening, or what I call blank slate listening, it's best for you to start from no agenda, just to start feeling it. It'll open you up to be able to feel what does it feel like when I truly am coming forward with somebody with absolutely no agenda. I find it's easiest for me when I started experimenting with this, it was easiest for me because of my Christian beliefs to do it around my friends at church. Because I had an understanding, a kind of a primal understanding that they have similar core values to what I have, so I didn't have to worry about being appalled at stuff that people said or reacting quickly because I was coming from my judgment. But it's amazing how even when you align yourself and you take this approach with people who you think have the same core values, how different you really are. And how you want to get into the help, support, change, let me contribute, let me tell you solutions. You start getting, it doesn't matter what their background is or how close or similar they are. There's going to be huge differences that come up, and you're going to see yourself playing a role in their life. But I'm just telling you, you got to start somewhere, and please really take heed to that concept to become a absolutely blank slate, which means take your brain and whitewash it and go out and just start talking to people, asking questions, and see where it takes you. No agenda. And that's a great kickoff point to just get you, again, familiar with how that feel is in a conversation where you're truly hearing the other person. If you truly listen intently to people, you're going to ask better questions. Why? Because the questions you ask are going to be in response to the exact things that people are saying. I've watched Manatechers in the field operate with people at, like, opportunity meetings where the person says one thing and the Manatecher says something totally different. I kind of see that happen a lot when I look at some of these presidential things going on and interviews with different candidates, and they ask a question and the candidate won't even answer the question. They just go off and say, I mean, I sit there and I go, whoa, that was terrific listening. Yeah, so you see some of that happening, but it's the concept is, are you truly listening? Are they truly listening to the question? Sometimes when that kind of stuff happens in the political realm, it's because they don't know the answer and they avoid looking silly, so they say something else instead of answering the exact question that's being asked. What I'm saying, what happens to us, is that we don't listen at all. We're already so tied in. This is what happens to Manatechers. We get so tied into our agenda that is so fixed in stone. We have our little roadmap, A, B, C, D, E, and this is exactly how we're supposed to respond to people, and here's my answers, and here's my, you know, this is what I need to get through. And we don't really care what the other person is saying. When you do those kind of things, you've already lost the person. You'd be better off just stopping, apologizing, and saying, can we start over? because people pick up on that, just as you would. If you were talking about somebody, something, and somebody came back and made a comment to you that had no relationship to what you were just talking about, how many of you has that happened to in your life? All of us. And how does it make you feel? It makes you feel that the person's not listening to you, and you're exactly right when that happens. So, and you disregard them, and now they have no value because they don't care about you. You come to all these conclusions about them, which is probably pretty accurate, that all they care about is their own agenda, and you walk away. You're not going to say yes in that environment. So if you listen intently, you're going to ask better questions. You're also going to look smarter because you're going to tend to make fewer mistakes, and you're going to tend to be quieter and not be so judgmental and offering in a presentation mode. So you're going to look smarter that way. You're going to look contemplative. People who typically are contemplative, in other words, they sit back and look like they're thinking, the thinkers, those people are typically judged as being more intelligent. So that's what people will come to the conclusion, if you're a better listener, that you're more intelligent. How many of you would like to be perceived as more intelligent? I think the majority of us. So it's not about going and getting 6 degrees. So, and if you don't understand the person, the other thing to make sure you do is feedback. And one of the classic responses you do for that is you go, let me see if I understand what you're saying. Let me see if I understand what you're saying. What a great statement to make. You can write that one down. Let me see if I understand what you're saying. That right away tells the person that you're listening, but more importantly, that you really care about fully understanding what's going on in this conversation. You're not dismissing them. You're really getting heavily involved in the conversation. So that's a great, even if you think you really do understand it, it's a great piece to put in there, because it tells, what you're doing is you're indirectly telling the person, I'm totally into this conversation. All right? So that's just some clues on listening. 4 rules of effective listening. Michael Oliver went over those. Number 1 was be present. And the present nature of it is that I'm going to tell you, the first thing about being present is it's not about me. In other words, the focus becomes on the other person. So you want to make sure that in order to be present that you really are focusing on the other person. And one of the things that happens in so many conversations, which tells me you're not present, is when somebody says, oh my gosh, this past week, my mother was diagnosed with cancer and I'm just really troubled by the whole thing. It's just kind of rocked my world. And here's what a response could be. Oh, I really feel for you, Mary. I had the same experience. When I was like 10 years ago, my mom came. Are you following me? And we do that because we think for some reason that if we share our experience that we are going to show empathy and show that we're all knowing about how to deal with the situation and then we can fix it for them. Is that what that person, that their mother was just diagnosed with cancer last week? I don't think so. In fact, I'll go further. I absolutely know that's not what they want to hear from you. If somebody did that to you, the minute you made a comment about something major in your life that had happened, and all they can do is come back with what happened in their lives, how did that make you feel? What was running through your mind at the time somebody did that to you? I will tell you, here are some of the normal reactions. When somebody does that to you, you'll feel annoyed, unimportant, disrespected, unheard, invalidated, discounted, frustrated, or discredited. Now, of those 8 descriptions, how many of those would you like to cast upon a person that's a potential partner with you in Manatech? None, exactly. That is not how you want the other person to feel. And you think you're coming from, oh, but Mary Jo, I was just trying to help. No, no, no. What happened in your life is totally unimportant if the prime reason you're having a conversation is to focus on the other person. So be present. Don't make it about you. concentrate on the speaker and get into what's going on in their present reality. That's what your job is to do. So you ask questions about what's going on in their present reality. You don't become the teller. So many of us want to always be tellers. If you have that habit, I want you to break it right now, starting today, and just keep saying, it's not about me. Get the focus off of me and put the focus on them. So, very clear. How can you do this with body language to show you care and that you're listening in the present moment? Well, you concentrate on the speaker. In other words, you're giving them your uninvited attention. And the way to do that from a body language is making great eye contact with them, which demonstrates you're interested in paying attention, right? If you're on a phone call, how do you make eye contact? Well, you make sure you're not ruffling papers and the phone. When you're on a phone conversation with somebody and all of a sudden their voice starts dissipating, how many of you does that happen to? You're on a phone conversation with somebody. It happens to me with Lydia from time to time, and I hang up because I know what she's trying to do for other things, and she's just not paying attention to the conversation. So I just hang up because I don't know how to break that habit unless I come back with just saying, you know what, if this conversation isn't important to you, then it's not going to be important to me, and I'm going to hang up until you're ready to hear me. When you start moving the phone around and moving your head and start ruffling papers and all this kind of, are you listening to the person? You might as well be standing in front of them with eyes looking at the ceiling. That's what you're doing for an eye contact or body language. But you can even have, notice how body language transitions the phone. So be careful on that. All right? So making sure, and then the third thing around being present is, of course, don't be focusing on what you think you're going to say next to be most impactful. It's not about you. So you don't have to impress anyone here. This is just about you listening to the other person and being present with them. The second rule of effective listening is be acknowledging. Because when you acknowledge somebody, what happens is you draw them into the you, okay? You're bringing them closer to you. So you want to make sure that you're in that acknowledgement mode. Because if somebody, let's give you an instance. What is acknowledgement? Well, what if you were talking to somebody and they sat across from you totally motionless the entire time? That's what I'm talking about. You feel like you're not being heard. You get frustrated. You feel like you're ignored. So once again, what are the mechanics of acknowledging? Number one, it can be body language. Again, making good eye contact is here, but also the leaning forward towards somebody, that bringing you in closer, that, and I don't mean leaning forward so you're really getting in their space. I'm talking about just leaning forward. That's part of body language. When you lean forward, you're in tune with that person. When you lean back and brace yourself in the back, then you're separating, you're creating more distance. So lean forward, making eye contact is important. The other thing that is nodding your head, and a lot of you have learned the lesson, hey, Mary Jo, I've learned that I'm not supposed to be nodding my head in agreement with people. This is not about an agreement. Typically when you say yes, yes, okay, yeah, I know what you mean, that kind of stuff, that's very degrading. I'm not saying you're saying yes, I know what you mean. You're not getting into agreement with somebody. When you nod your head, you can be nodding your head and saying, oh, I see, you know, kind of like, oh, I see what you're saying. It's not, I agree with you. You're not listening from I agree or disagree, which is a horrific way of listening, because then it's all about you again and all your opinions and beliefs and attitudes. What you're nodding your head is, it's almost like, oh, you know, if somebody told you, oh, my mother just got diagnosed with cancer, you could go, oh, and you could nod your head going left and right, like almost, oh, no. It's just like, oh, and just because you can feel that sense of just devastation the person's going through and pain they're suffering from that diagnosis, okay? So that's called acknowledgement. Another way of acknowledging is feeding back or summarizing or clarifying. And you can, if I'm hearing you correctly, or so what you're saying is, this is kind of like clarifying or feedback. This is a way of acknowledging. So how do you feel about that? Let me see if I got this straight. You can kind of, you know, reiterate things. Oh, I sense that you're really upset about that. Is that right? You know, that's the kind of language of acknowledgement. So you can give feedback that's acknowledging by summarizing and clarifying what's happening in the conversation. That's acknowledgement. verbal phrases or pauses. When we call them verbal pauses, it's kind of like a real quick note, like, oh, I see, or like, or tell me more, or like, wow, and you just kind of shake your head. Those are what we call verbal pauses. They're just short, little, brief, one-word, two-word, three-word things that just really show and acknowledge that you're hearing the person. That's important. And another way to acknowledge is silence. And some of you look at me and go, oh, my gosh, Mary Jo, here she goes again. You know, the maxim goes, silence is golden. And some of us, especially anyone who's been in lawyering training, we never like to be silent. We like to be in control all the time. So we just, it kind of gets to the point where we just like to talk, talk, talk. And anytime silence is around, it's like, something's wrong. We make silence wrong. The power of silence is incredible. And you need to use that pregnant pause in your approach with people. And it typically comes after a question. So it would be something like if somebody says to you, is this network marketing? Now, our normal response would be a half an hour dissertation about why network marketing is the best thing on the face of the earth. Why not take a different approach? And this is my new approach to it. I say to people, yes, it is. Do you know anything about it? Or if I sense, is this network marketing? You know, that nasally twang. And I go, yes, it is. I sense that you have an issue about that. Could you tell me what you're thinking? And after I ask that question, if it's quiet, I just let it drop. I'm asking a question. Open up the door to allow your person to be able to reflect and think. It's okay. You want people to think. And you never know what they're going to say. Sometimes you don't ask what they think about network marketing because you right away already assumed what they're going to say. Is that good listening skills? No. It's also not good for results because there's a classic, you know, universal law out there, but kind of like the law of attraction. If you put out negativity, what do you attract back? Negativity. So control your thought process. When somebody says, is this network marketing, what I think in my head is, oh, my gosh, these guys can't wait to be involved in an independent business and make lots of income to support themselves in their retirement. Isn't that great? Why can't that be your conclusion when somebody asks, is this network marketing? Because you're living in your past? Because that's not happened to you before, so you say it can't happen, so I'm going to just say that everybody thinks network marketing is bad. If everybody thought network marketing was bad, why does Manitech have like 400 presidentials? Why is it one of the fastest growing industries in the whole world if people think it's bad? So you see that your assumption about that is inaccurate. So we need to change some of those assumptions that we might be making. But use the power of silence. Be quiet and be comfortable with the silence. Being quiet is not a technique or a closing trick. It's simply what? A common courtesy to the other person, okay? So that's three, be acknowledging, and silence is one of those ways to be acknowledging. And then the last rule of good listening is be accepting. And Michael Oliver calls this the very essence of dialogue, is suspension of my own beliefs and prejudice so that I can understand the other person. Isn't that wonderful? Suspension of my own beliefs and prejudices so that I can understand the other person. So when the other person is talking, you're coming from open slate. In other words, you're allowing them to express perhaps viewpoints and ideas that are totally contrary to yours. And you're not jumping in every 5 seconds by saying, well, yes, but. If you're a yes butter, I want you to take that out of your vocabulary. First and foremost, because I want to ask you, how is it working for you? How many people find themselves negotiating with somebody over network marketing? Anyone on the call? If you want to get off mute, you can share with me. I want you to share with me if you do that, and then I want you to share with me, how is it working for you? Anyone? People are bashful this morning. Well, let me suggest to you that if people did get off a mute and wanted to share, the number one thing is say, Mary Jo, I find myself doing that all the time, and I'm going to go, how effective? Did these people become presidential in your downline? Or really? And they're going to say, they didn't even sign up. And I go, great. And why is that true? Because you got into a battle with them. You got into a I win, you lose battle. Yes, but is all about I win and you lose. And that's the only net result we can have from this discussion. That's not dialogue. That's agenda. That's like hit my way or hit the highway. And I want you to get rid of that out of your panoply of issues. People have a right to have their own opinions and experiences in their life that have caused them to come to those conclusions. Our idea in this conversation is, how do I best develop a win-win solution? How can I make this a win for them and a win for me? And there's really one way you can make it a win for them, and that is to validate their feelings and truly listen to them. Because the intriguing thing about great listening, when you get rid of the yes buts and you get rid of the negotiating and the arguing, which again, people, trust me, from a lawyering perspective, is very difficult because that's all we did. We're into arguments. We thrive on them. But the intriguing thing is that when you get into one-on-one listening, good listening with people, and you come from acceptance, what happens to the other person? Like attracts like. What happens is when you become extremely accepting of people, and that doesn't, when I say accepting, you know that you know that it's not that you have to agree with them. There's a difference between agreement and accepting. Everybody follow me. Accepting means that you're not going to battle with them and make them wrong. You may have different belief systems and different concepts about what's, you know, happening, like network marketing. Somebody might tell you all the vagaries of network marketing, and you could listen to them and be accepting, in other words, really listen, or you could get into negotiation on each and every point and argue why they're all wrong and washed up on it. Your choice, but I'm going to suggest arguing with them why they're all wrong and washed up isn't going to move them forward. The best way to do it is to really listen to them. And then you can potentially say, well, you know, that's fascinating. I can see where you came to those kind of conclusions. So give them some validity of what they did. And then you can, then, because you were so open and ready to hear their story, what happens with them? They're going to sit back and be willing to hear your story. Because you're not trying to make them wrong. You're trying to make it a win-win. I've learned from you. Now, the potential is that they might learn. I've learned from you. They might learn from me. So you see what happens. There's that open interchange. So with that acceptance in your listening skills, your ability to listen to people without judgment, prejudice, assumptions, statements, what you're doing is you're opening up the possibility that when you start communicating with them about what your experience have been and led you to conclude, they could say, wow, that makes a lot of sense. I could see that. And they might start shifting. But they're not going to shift because you pound on them, which is our normal technique. We want to jump on it before we even understand how they came to that conclusion in their present reality. We want to understand the process so that they, sometimes when they watch the process, I had one person talk to me about her process in network marketing, and by the time she was done, I just sat back and listened to her. This is a great story. I wish I had it on tape for you guys to hear. By the time she was done, she blamed herself entirely for the failure of her network marketing experiences, and she was ready to get started again because she looked at me and she said at the end, she was like, you know, Mary Jo, I am totally convicted about the model. I said, but I can see each time I've tried it, look at what I did. And I go, I get that. I understand that. And then I was able to express to her about my experience. And because I listened so intently, I was able to meet her at what she saw as what? Her needs and her emotional needs in order to support her to offset potentially what has happened in the past with a new way of approaching network marketing. But if I never would have listened to her, I never could have done that. I couldn't have been joined at a hip with her to lead her to the conclusion that she was ready to jump in with both feet again. And most of you never get there because you don't listen to them. The minute they say network marketing, oh, I don't like that, and you go, and you either walk away and you give up, or you try to tell them the 20 reasons why they're wrong, and it doesn't work. Is everybody picking up on this? Does this make sense? Huge.
It is huge, and it's really good, Mary Jo.
Okay, great. So it's coming across loud and clear, right? And this
right.
is something I'm going to teach because I think it's really one of the main reasons why we walk away with so much rejection, because we're giving out rejection. We're rejecting other people before they even get out of the box. And you know what? As you sow, so shall you reap. If you go out rejecting people, what's going to happen with them? They're going to reject you. So set yourself up for success, not failure. Okay, and the fourth lesson around listening skills is be curious. So what does be curious mean? It just means that, you know, someone tells you a problem and the first thing that you do, I have this problem, and the first thing out of your mouth is, well, this is what you should do about it. Wrong. Be curious. Ask more questions. Ask them, find out more about their problem. You're so anxious over in 5 seconds flat that you jump on it. You know, it's a minute somebody says a problem, you go boom, and you jump all over it. Stop it. Be curious. Ask more questions. Find more answers out. All right, second thing in the outline today is knowing what to listen for. There are three things that you're listening for. Number one, is there a problem to be solved? A lot of you want to make presentations. You want to come from presentation style because you want to prove there's a problem. I suggest get them to acknowledge there's a problem. That's why even sometimes if I get into a presentation mode with people, I always get them to participate in dialogue. I want dialogue in my one-on-one presentations. If they haven't said anything for 2.5, 3 minutes, I've already lost them, so forget that. So get back into a dialogue nature. You know, get them actively involved so that they're admitting and they're coming up with what the problem is. A classic case of what I used to use all the time and still do sometimes is I say, well, are you familiar with the inadequacy of our foods on the grocery store shelves today? Oh, my gosh. I have some people that can go on for an hour just in response to that question. What are they doing? They're acknowledging there's a problem. It's not me having to have to tell it. They're acknowledging it. Okay, so you have to acknowledge there's a problem, and then do they desire to change? Because there are a lot of people that don't like the word change. In fact, you know, they can't even spell it personally. It doesn't matter if they see a problem. They're not going to change. And, boy, that's coming up against a brick wall. But all of us on this call have come across people like that. Great. So you want to waste the rest of your 5 years in Manitech fighting those people to try to change their attitude? Or do you want to go out and find people that fit in the third category that recognize a need and they really want to have a solution? They want to change, right? So you want to make sure that you've got, number one, is there a problem? Number two, do they have a desire to change? And number three, do you have the right solution for them? Boom, that's easy. That's what you're listening for. So, and all the answers to life's questions, where do they lie? Inside of you. Inside of you. And that's how you look at people, too. They're going to solve their own problems. You're not coming as a solution machine. You have suggestions, but they have the solution. And it's interesting about how we ask proper questions, and we're going to get into that next week. It's all about questioning. What do the questions look like? What do they feel like? What do they taste like? At what level do I ask them? It's going to be a fun lesson next week, so don't miss that one. But the idea is that this is what you're going to be doing is you're going to be soliciting responses to these so you know, so that when you get back to formulating a solution for people, it's going to be all in their words, not your words, and that's what makes it so much fun. So you look behind the symptoms to find the real problems. That's what we're going to be about because everybody, we all have symptoms, but we don't know the problem. We just tend to respond to symptoms before we really get to the problem. And we want to make sure that we get to the problem, not the symptoms. So many times when people say, I don't have enough time, we go, oh, my gosh, do I have the perfect program from you? It's network marketing. People, not having enough time is not the problem. It's a symptom. And you're grappling with that, and we'll show you how to dig deeper to find that out. You want to respond so quickly because you have no patience on it. So you want to know what? You want to listen to how it's affecting them. So when people say they don't have enough time, don't jump on that. Go, well, what does that mean for you? How is that affecting your life? So you're going to start asking for feelings, not facts, because every problem comes in pairs. You got the outer logical needs, I don't have enough time, to the inner emotional feelings. My gosh, what sacrifices my family's making today because I don't have enough time. Whoa. See the difference? One is a logical need, the other is an emotional feeling. If you respond to logical needs, which are facts, okay, what are you going to get? No movement, because people don't make decisions based on logical needs. 99% of the population make decisions based on emotion. They respond based on emotions. It has the most persuasive power when you can get people to respond based on emotions. So what are facts versus emotional feelings? Let's talk about that. So you get time, residual income, better health, better results, less stress, less debt, less costs, fewer deadlines, less politics, less commute, less work, less effort. See, all of these are things you've been selling about Manatech for ages, but they're all facts. You find somebody, say they want better health, and you're all over it like a hot balloon. You're not all... Why do you want better health? What is it that's most important to you about your health? What is it? Well, Mary Jo, I just had two grandbabies. And you know what? I can't stand the fact that I'm not going to watch them go on to, you know, grade school and high school and, you know, college and get married someday. I want to be a part, actively a part of their lives. Wow. Did you see how I just took a fact? She wants better health. That's a fact. And I, by asking a question, I got into her inner emotional feelings, the heart, why she wanted better health. How many of you have done that? Or do we just linger on the fact that they want better health? And that's good enough for us because we got solution. Wow. See, then when I address the solution, I can phrase it in 100% in accordance with what her emotional hot button is, which she wants to be able to have an active life with her grandkids as they get older. Oh, tell me, what is more powerful to close somebody when you're talking about getting them better health or creating the possibility and probability of them having an active lifestyle with their grandchildren? Anyone in the call impacted by those two different concepts? Are you getting the flavor for this approach? It's absolutely overwhelming, the difference. It's a difference between you being 100% effective and being 10% effective when you're out in the field working with people. It's just another question. Some of you are two questions away from increasing your sign-up rate from 5% to 45%. You're two questions away. But we're not asking those two questions because we don't know what they are. That's how powerful this stuff is. It's that powerful. So we listen for feelings and we phrase things based on feelings. Facts belong to the world, feelings belong to the individual. You want an individual approach to what you're doing in this industry. You don't want the world approach. And some of you feel like it's a world approach, and that's what causes you to get so discouraged because you feel like you're just a numbers game. This isn't a numbers game, people. Yeah, you go and talk to a lot of people, perhaps, but, you know, if you do it more effectively and you build relationships more effectively, the numbers come down dramatically. It's about quality, not quantity. Put that in your hopper. It's about quality, not quantity. Quality, not quantity. Okay? And that's the incredible thing. When you get into feelings, people will explore and buy your solution because they feel you understand them as a unique person. They are not the world. It's not about bad health. You know, that's one of the things. We tell people about all the health statistics in the world. Well, that's great. You just made them a statistic in the world. Is that convincing for them? It might work for 5%, 10% of the people. But the intriguing thing is, why is health important to them in particular? Everybody has a reason why health is important to them. And if somebody looks at you and says, you know what, health really isn't important to me, Mary Jo, because, you know, I'm going to go home and be with my maker and I'm believing prayer and that's the way I'm going and I don't really care about all this stuff because if the Lord wants me here, he's going to have me here. And you know what? What do I do with that person? Is that rejection of Mary Jo? No. You understand? Solved. No. They don't have a problem. They don't perceive it. I can pound it in their head 101 times. You guys get mad at people in your church who want to just rely on the Lord in prayer for their, you know, total healing, and you get angry with them. Well, why? Do they not have a right to have that belief? You might not think it's right, but don't make them wrong because you have to be right. You use the next word. It's called next. Remember, you're listening for people. Number one, is there a problem to be solved? Number two, do they have a desire to change? And number three, do you have the right solution for them? You'll avoid rejection if you go through that process. So, again, make it unique to the person. Make them believe they're unique, not just another number out there. It doesn't mean you can't use statistics to help suggest the problem and get the outer logical need, but you have to get into their inner emotional feelings to be most effective with getting them started on a path that makes sense or buying into what we call your solution, because it really becomes their solution then, not yours. Okay, let me just give you another example what this might look like for you, and then we'll get into the last chapter. Boy, this stuff takes a long time to get through. I thought, okay, let's do this. Okay, example what this looks like. So somebody says to you that they don't have any money, okay? Is that a fact or a feeling, people? It's a fact, okay? I won't let you, don't have to get off mute. It's a fact. They don't have enough money. Now, how many of you say, oh, my gosh, do we have a solution for you? You jump on it like hotcakes. Nix. Not after today's call. How about asking some background questions? How long have you been without money? What does not okay, so that's a background question. So you're getting some background. And they might say, oh, man, this has been going on for a couple of years. My husband lost his job. Da-da. You following me? You're letting her dig herself into feelings, her life, her history, background check, okay? When she gets done with that little response, then you say, what does not having the funds prevent you from doing or having in your life? What a great question. This is a need awareness question. What does not having the funds prevent you from doing or having in your life? Now you want a need development question. Here's that. It's a need awareness. Here's a need development question. How do you feel about that? Here's your feeling side. How do you feel about that? Oh, Mary Jo, I feel devastated. Here I went to all these years of college, and I can't even supply enough money to get my kids to part. Oh, my gosh, you guys getting this picture? Now, instead of you responding, boy, do I have a solution to your money problem, you now are what? Helping them see their inner emotional self, what's lacking in their life, what means the most to them, and now you can have a unique solution to their problem, because it's going to be addressing their specific internal emotional need instead of your concept that everybody wants to have more money, so all I've got to do is go out there and sell money. Very different. And then when you ask them, how would having more money make a difference for you? And they say, I could send my kids to college, and then say, is that important to you? Oh, my gosh, absolutely. See how you can keep asking questions? You don't even you develop it until a point where you really get them to a point where they can really see how the feeling. You're taking them from the deep down feeling of how bad it is to what would it make you feel like if you could do that. And then you get to do the final question, which is what? How would that make you feel if you could send your kids to college and you had the financial cash flow to do that? And now they have exhilaration. You've just taken them through this emotional thing. Feelings are more powerful than facts, and they're even more powerful than thinking. You can feel without thinking. And that's what you want to get people to do. Okay? And the last piece of the class today is presenting your solution-satisfying needs. Solution-satisfying needs. You don't need closing techniques for someone who wants to make a change. Is that clear? If you go through that whole scenario and the person wants to, let's go back to the one I just developed, the person wants to have money so that she can send her kids to college because her parents sent her to college and she's just devastated she doesn't have it. And if she had more funds, that's the first thing she'd dedicate her funds for. And if she could do that, she would be exhilarated because she'd feel fulfilled in life. And then you'd see whether or not they're what? Willing to look at a solution. How would that make you feel if you could do that? Oh, my gosh, I'd be exhilarated. Great. You get it? So you don't have to close a person like that, because why? Because you've already developed them on they want to make a change. They're ready to make a change. They've got it emotionally down. They got the facts. They got the logical needs, the inner emotional feelings all tied down. So you get it. Problems come in pairs. You have the outside logical needs, which are the facts, and you have the inner emotional feelings, okay? So you got the facts and you got the feelings. Solutions come in pairs as well. You like to show solutions based on features of your business opportunity. So we like to make a laundry list of what all our features are. Here's all the features. The problem with that is that that's only part of the solution. the features of your business opportunity to meet the factual side of their problem. Right. The fact side is they don't have enough money. A feature of Manitech's business is it produces all this income stream, and let me show how that income stream works. Blah, 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 blah. Problem is what? We need to tie those features into why they're advantages for the person and how they're going to solve the personal side by describing those features as benefits to them. Wow. That really takes it out of the numbers game. Now you've flipped it all the way around, and now each individual becomes unique in and of themselves, and you can take every single one of their facts that led to these feelings, and you can come up with a solution that meets the facts, the logical side, but then you draw the what? The advantages of that to tie it into then the benefits the person's going to accrue in their words, not your words, because you found out what really floats their boat, what's very meaningful for them. So in order to do that, you need to understand the different aspects of what creates the open the people up to solution. So what's the definition of circumstance? It's what has happened and or is happening to cause a need or problem. So what that is all about is their present reality. And remember last week when we talked about present reality, how critical it was for us to get into people's present reality? And that's hard for a lot of us because a lot of us don't live on our own present reality. You're not gonna create tension in a person's life, which is the number one motivation for change, if you don't get people to grapple with their present reality. And it's hard to get other people to grapple with something you're not willing to grapple with. So I'd start with that. But the present reality is what they need to grapple with, and that's part of their facts, right? Their circumstances. What is around you? And you dig in. What does that mean? How long have you been broke? I mean, how long have you not had money? I mean, you really dig. You know, some of you feel like you're intruding when you ask those questions. Are you kidding? Just be a great listener, and they'll never accuse you of intruding because you really care. You really care. You'll come across as a very caring person. So circumstances, what? Circumstances, what has happened to cause a need? What's a need or a problem? A need or a problem is the difference between what your prospective partner has and what she wants. It's the gap. Remember what Manitech did in their new booklets? Is there a gap between the quality of life you experience today and the quality of life that you want? That's called figuring out there's a need or a problem there. And what is the solution? Is a solution is an option that solves the problem, preferably by treating the cause. In this case, it's going to be your business opportunity. So there you go, circumstances, need or problem, to solution. Then you need to understand the features. What would be features of Manitech? What would be a feature? If you're going to talk about features, remember this is meets the logical. This meets the logical side. Here's your features. Be your own boss, residual income, time freedom, low startup cost, work when you want, work on your own, work as a team, tax deductibility, training given, support from successful people, technical support, no inventory, no bookkeeping, no employees, little paperwork, company's a public traded company, company's been in business a long time, company is financially sound, all of these things. All the things I just mentioned are features. Feature. It's a feature. But it's not a selling point. It's just a feature. Okay? Don't express them as benefits. Express them as facts. They're features of the business opportunity, right? Because feature is spoken about in a vacuum, in other words, without trying to tie it to a specific person's emotional needs, are merely a laundry list. So you can make all the laundry lists you want, but you know what? Unless it relates to that individual human being, it's not worth anything. So you want to personalize them into advantages and benefits. So what's an advantage versus benefit? An advantage is how they solve the logical problem. So this would be in response to, remember, problems come in pairs and solutions come in pairs. Advantages is how does this feature solve your logical problem? And what does that language look like? Let's talk about that for a second. So if you're trying to use, like, language around solving a logical problem, what this means to you, in other words, this means that to you is that you'll have more money to go on vacation while you're in good health. That's an advantage, okay? What this means to you is that you won't have to pay into that expensive disability plan. That's an advantage. The residual income will replace your payments into it and also pay you should you be unfortunate enough to be ill. That's an advantage. All of these are called advantages, right? You'll find this of value because of this feature, you can this. When this happens, you can expect this. So these are all what advantages that they're going to get from the feature. But the benefit is when they solve their personal need, okay? And if you want to work through benefits, let's talk about what that's going to mean. First of all, we need to be patient to find their needs. I mean, some of you, you don't ask enough questions to really find their needs. When somebody says, there's a good example in the book. Let me run through it quickly. I know I'm over, but hang in there with me. There's an example that says that somebody talks to you about network marketing, and they say, or they want to get a separate job, and they say, well, but I don't have any experience. And your response immediately is, oh, but you don't need experience. We'll train you. See how you jump on that so fast because you're so impatient. If somebody said to you, but I don't have any experience, my question would be, and I suggest you to approach it this way, so what kind of experience do you think you're lacking? So you get a confirmation. See, what you're doing is you're drawing it, you're making them unique. What's unique about this person? What perception do they have about needing experience in order to do network marketing? Instead of jumping all over them that you don't need experience because that's illogical to them, why would they express? Somebody says, I don't have any experience, you say, well, you don't need any experience because of this, this, and this. You're telling the person that they're not very smart, thinking that they need experience. Don't do that. Just say, well, let me ask you a simple question. What kind of experience do you think you need in order to do this? And then you find out what they ask, and then they'll say, well, you know what, I really don't know how to take advantage, writing off my own house and, the tax benefits of a home-based business. You can go, wow, we have this great course that we offer people. So you don't really need to have a lot of experience going into it because you can get all that training on this specific course on how to take advantage of the tax benefits of a home-based business. You get it? You're addressing exactly their need instead of being so just being so impatient about finding out what the true issue is. So be that Sherlock Holmes and ask more questions to find out the results from people so you can really find their needs. Emotional needs is what we're looking for. What do they view themselves as? How can I make this, solve in a personal need that they have? So let me go through another one. Let's just run through something. One of the aspects, which is a feature, here's some languaging, okay, like a perfect presentation for you. One of the aspects, a feature, about our business that could be what you're looking for is your ability to make a residual income, right? Everybody agree that's a feature. What this means to you is that you'll have more money to go on vacation while you're in good health. There's your advantage, right? Here's the next step. This will allow you to feel good about being able to join your friends once again in Europe every year and not feel as though you're losing touch with them. Whoa. Guys, get how that's a benefit? You also don't have to worry needlessly about the consequences of not being insured. Another benefit? Isn't that cool? That's what it's about. It's about taking a feature, bringing it to an advantage, and then concluding as a benefit. Those concepts are unbelievably powerful. Just keep in mind that solutions have two parts, just like problems have two parts. You got the logical, is the fact. The emotional side is how do they feel about that? What result has caused in their life because of the fact? What is it denying them? What can't they do because they don't have this or that? How would it make you feel if you could do that? Wow. Feelings, emotions, all that. That's the emotional side of the problem. And then the solution becomes one that's logical. You have features that give you the advantages. And then you have what? The benefits specifically to you so that you can feel. This will allow you to feel good. Notice that? And then what he suggests is at the end, you always finish a presentation like that with the question, does this sound like what you're looking for? Remember, you got to make sure, what's the third thing you're always listening for, people? Do you have the right solution for them? That's what you're listening for. Okay, great. That's it. I know we ran over a little bit. Great stuff. I mean, this stuff is made of if you start applying some of this, people, it's going to be wow. But what has to happen with you, you got to be able to step in from vulnerable. You got to say to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to go out and really build relationships with people. I'm going to care about them and ask questions and be a great listener. Yep. So, anyone, any questions before we go? Questions, comments, anyone?
Hi, Mary Jo.
Mm-hmm.
Can associates still win a trip to Maui?
Yes. I believe they have it through business. It's either business period 12 or 13. It was originally over through 13, I believe, through business period 12.
Hello.
They said if you...
Mary Jo?
Yeah?
How do I get my name on the listening list?
Listening list.
Yes,
to get the
booklet.
For tonight's call?
I haven't registered. I've bought the original pack, the $30 pack.
I think Lydia's sending it out to every person that's on that list that bought the ICANN pack, so you should get it. If not, just send an email to Lydia, and we'll send you the information. If you're on the Monday call list, if you got my outline this morning.
I never registered on the Monday call list.
You can Manatrain, MANNATRAIN.net, Manatrain.net website, and it'll say, do you want to join the Yahoo list, and just say yes. The only thing you get, basically, is that Monday call outline every Monday morning. Okay?
I have those outlines for years.
There you go. You're collecting them. Okay, let me get back and answer the other question. The question about can you still go to my, and let me follow up with Manatech on this. My belief is that as long as you qualify and you get the presidential status, that 60,000 in volume with the right distribution, one time over the next, if you're a first-time presidential, if you hit it for the first time, business period 10, 11, or 12, the next three business periods, that you can still get that all-expenses-paid trip to Hawaii. Okay? But I don't think it's Maui. I think they're going to Lanai or Kauai. Kauai. I believe it's Kauai, the Grand Hyatt Resort and Spa or something. It's beautiful. If you want to look it up, you'll fall over dead. It's so gorgeous. So, and if you can do that in 5 weeks through this program, by just getting people to find a support team of four to help them lose fat, I'm going to tell you, that's what I think is so exciting. Okay? So be on the call tonight if you want to hear more about that. It's just, I think it's the easiest way. I'll tell you, people, it's the easiest thing I've seen since I've been around Manatech in 10 years because I think it's easy to find somebody who wants to lose fat. They're everywhere, everywhere. So just open your eyes to it and watch what happens. Okay, anyone else? Any other questions, comments? And I will send out to answer that question specifically. I'll look it up on the internet to get everybody that response on getting the presidential before the end of the year to win the Hawaii trip. Is that
Mary Jo?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Did you finish?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I've been told. I was fortunate to listen today, and I want to tell you, I've been told often, that I'm such a very good listener, and yet there were so many things I learned today.
I know. That's right. I know. There's just it. Same with me. I appreciate your comment because I believe the same thing. You know, even preparing the lesson today, I just got so entrenched in it because it's such great information. It's things that we just need to continue to reinforce ourselves that we take this path of really being great listeners because that makes such a huge difference in people's lives. Huge.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And I'll tell you, one of the things I love, you want to get into a training on it, and I go to a Baptist church here, and it doesn't matter what your faith, whatever your faith is, but, you know, we have a meet and greet section, and I when I go around and shake people's hands, I just get into a mode of asking a question. And I just sit back. I mean, it's one of my techniques to get me to really appreciate listening. And I just hug on people and love on people in that church and just listen to them. And it's just it's a fun, you know, it's an open forum for you to really help develop your listening skills. Find those comfort zones for yourself that you can really get vulnerable and let it go and see what happens. I mean, it is invaluable. It's invaluable. And what a difference. You will see. I can share with you where I am in my church today compared to where I was 10 years ago is night and day. It's incomparable. In fact, I have people that come up to me and say, it's amazing that I never knew you. I mean, it's amazing, the commentary I get from people in my church. It's a blast. So just step into it and see what results you create, and you'll see the difference. And the difference in effectiveness, too. I mean, I always talk about my church. I've been there for 15, 16 years, and I think I had 3 people taking the product. Today I probably have, I don't know, 45, 50 people taking the products. And if I had enough Osoline in stock, I'd have another 20 more because they're all so excited about Osoline. So it's just growing like crazy, like wildfire. So, okay, people.
Mary Jo.
Yep.
That's our next question. Can Manitech support this kind of growth?
Yeah, I think so. You might get a lot of Japanese Osoline, and you can't read the outside of the label. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I totally believe they're going to support this growth. They're so convicted on this product that, you know, and the results are so resounding with what's happening out there. It's just fun. So, yeah.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
Can we invite people to listen tonight?
Yes,
who are
you can.
Not associates?
Absolutely. I have no problem with that. It's going to be, you know, we're going to go through the whole 8-page brochure and talk about how to use that. It will be a little training on how to get other people started. So if you invite somebody new, they're going to also not only hear about it, but they're going to hear how they can share with other people. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Lydia already sent that out. It's in my email box.
How do you like that for quick? Yeah, okay. Yeah, take a peek at it. Tell me, did you already look at it? How did you like the 8-page booklet?
No, not yet.
Yeah, okay. Take a peek at it. Give us feedback. Yeah, we're going to start producing them and making it happen. It's just a joy. It's just something. And that, in addition to the trifold, are going to be dynamite tools.